hello everybody and welcome back to the Pitching In NPL show, and you join us here for our little monthly review for the month of August, pre-recorded live on the 6th of September. Just like normal, isn't it? Just doesn't make any sense.
You're like magazines in reverse.
Yeah. Anyway, joining us here back at the Heating Hops, we're joined once again by the welcome return of League Social Media Officer, Mr. James Hayes. Hello, James.
Evening, Ben. How are you doing?
Berkey's here. You've already heard him, everyone. Berkey's here. Berkey's here for 26-0. Hello, Berkey.
Hello, Ben. Hello, everybody.
Bad apple sizer. Just, yeah.
I can
like,
see that.
It's like Smarties.
Your eyebrows are dancing. Yeah.
And Simo is here as well. Non-league reporter from Cheshire. Hello, Simo.
Hello. I'm not quite as excited as that, but I'm so glad to be here.
So excited, James. I'm excited for you. Because,
well,
what's this? Let me just go back to the league table.
It's been a long,
I wrote
long
it down, but I just don't believe my own handwriting. 6 points. James, is it happening? Are you leaving us?
You know, at this point.
Well,
but I think there's only one team person on his table who's not really felt the full force of Ratcliffe at the moment.
Yeah, true enough. I mean,
and that's against...
How's that going for you, Witten?
Well, yeah, it's exciting for once, because we're not mid-table, we're not down the bottom end, we're actually looking like a proper threat. And I know I've been joking it with you lot off air a little bit, I don't think Ratcliffe are at full strength at this moment in time too. There's been a little bit. Not only from when we played, again, going back to the Hyde game, there was issues with defensively where we were getting broken down, and that got found out a little bit in the Morpeth FA Cup game. So
part of that though is because you got your full-backs bombing on Scott Duxbury and Jamie Morgan. They've been fantastic. They were top-notch against Hyde. They've chipped in with 5 goals already between them this season, and it's going to leave gaps because of that willing to get forward. But that's the instructions from the bench. You know, you've got people filling in behind them anyway who've been around the block several times. So, you know, they know what they're doing with it. But that is my one concern, that if teams sit in and just hit them on the break, a fast team, they might come a little bit unstuck with it. And maybe we saw that on Saturday in the FA Cup. Morpeth did the homework.
Yeah, it was 100th minute that literally header at the near post that won it fair for Morpeth. Ratcliffe had to fight back in that game from early doors as well. It was the same against Mask as well. Mask got a very early lead, but it was the second half where Ratcliffe have started to really... That's it, the difference there with John and Bernard. They've always been a bit more towards the fitness side of things. And again, 70th minute, 80th minute, that's when they've made the most of the impact. And it's starting to show a little bit in the league at the moment too.
Sorry, lads. I was actually in the middle of my introduction and you just kind of ran off with Ratcliffe.
We're so excited.
I know. Aren't we excited for him? Oh, we're so excited for you. We are also going to be joined later by Thomas Feeney, non-league reporter from the other side of the Pennines, as we'll be discussing Geisley and Bradford Park Avenue. And Mark Ruthers, football writer from the northeast of England, will also be joining us to talk about, now the aforementioned, Morpeth and Mask. And we're hoping we're going to have Anthony Johnson, one half of the John and Bernard, to join us on this week's show. He used to come on the live shows back at the Magnet.
He did.
A couple of times.
Ago, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we should do them again.
Yeah. I can't have 4 hours on the table, though.
I just don't remember how I managed to get the sound so... Oh, I didn't get it so good, did I?
Well,
I remember now.
It sounds like we're recording in a cave in the Peak District on these headphones. So.
A big thank you to Damien at the Heating Hops for providing us with a venue for this month's broadcast. But should we come back to Ratcliffe in a second? What have you made of the start more generally, Berkey, to this season in the Premier Division? Because apart from Ratcliffe, it's pretty close, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been intriguing, hasn't it? Teams beating teams you wouldn't expect to beat. And you look at Whitby up in second place, they definitely wouldn't have expected that at the start of August. But it's fascinating so far, this. I mean, the bottom fringes of the table, I think, are pretty much what people expected. But up at the top, I mean, we all thought Macclesfield would be top at the best thing stand. They're not, though. Put it like this. 6 games gone. Ratcliffe, 6 points clear. Can they be 42 points clear by the end of April?
There's only pressure there, then.
No, there's only one way to find out. It has been a great start to the season.
We could get our time machines out, couldn't we, and just whiz forward.
We don't have to. Our predictions are sound enough. We don't have to.
It's pretty sound. I mean, yeah. So you got to say that, no pressure there, and that's the point I would make about Ratcliffe, is they're going to be changing expectation if they continue.
Are they ahead
of
schedule here?
Ratcliffe are the real deal.
Yeah,
I've seen them in the flesh.
I have too, and they are.
They're good. I mean, Hyde United are the only team who haven't conceded
Because make your result look more respectable as the weeks have gone.
Yeah. Come past. Yeah, exactly. I mean, Hyde were in that game in the first half, but the second half, as Teagot said, you know, absolutely fit as fleas, a lot of them.
Well, let's hear now from one of the joint managers at Radcliffe, and it's a big welcome back to the show now to Anthony Johnson.
Well, Jono, a big thank you for joining us, and a big congratulations for the fantastic August. But before we talk about on the pitch, how are you and Bernard settling into things at Stainton Park?
Brilliant. I don't think it could have gone any better off the pitch from the first moment we met the owner, Marcus, and the chairman, Paul, and discussed ambitions, expectations, what it looks like long-term, short-term. It felt bang on from the first moments we met. I think being out of the game as long as we were, 10 months was exactly what we needed in terms of being able to reflect, a bit of breathing time, time with families. Allowed us that time to sort of process what we'd done in the past, but also decide what we wanted to be going forward, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So when we sat down with them two in that initial meeting, everything we talked about in terms of reflection, what we wanted to do next, they sort of ticked all the boxes with it straight away. So seamless is probably an under-exaggeration in terms of what I'm trying to say here, but it couldn't have gone any better. You know, from the first moment we met them, walking into the football club, which is only a mile away from where I live, half a mile from where Burn lives, everything has been perfect.
I was going to say, I mean, how crucial was it that your next job after, because you've been around the north of England since, you know, being at this level. So how important was it that it was a localist club with this level of ambition that you wanted?
Yeah, I just think the 10 months off sort of realigns what's important in your life, you know, children, wife, family time and things like that. And I think when you've been to Spennymoor, which is at least 2.5 hour drive there and then 2.5 hours back at least, and then Chester, which is another hour. The more time you sort of travel in for training and games is less time that you've got at home. In a day now where mental health plays a massive part in people's everyday lives, being around the people that matter and being able to spend time with as much as possible was huge for us. So it couldn't have been any better. I mean, you've still got your training and away matches that you've got to deal with. But that was never the reason we wanted time out. The time out was to reflect on what we'd done, good and bad, and to basically make decisions based upon what it looked like going forward. So the fact that it's local helps massively. But I think the most important thing is having people that, you know, your friends, your family can come to the games. Really tough up at Spenny, really tough at Chester at times. But doing what we've done in the past at Ramsey and Salford, where we got to spend time with the people who watch the majority of your games, was as important as anything else.
And just going back to those expectations, you know, when you met Paul and the owner, and, you know, hammering out what the expectations were, short and medium and long term, I'm imagining, with the likes of Macclesfield in the league and Marine and, you know, FC United and everyone else in this competitive division. It may sound like a silly question, this, but I have to ask, is August meeting those expectations or exceeding them at this point, do you feel?
Do you know what? If I'm honest with you, we never spoke about, when I talk about expectations and ambitions, I'm not talking about promotions and winning leagues. I think it was more creating a feel-good factor amongst ourselves, having a togetherness where no matter what we do or what we try to do, we do it as a group, we do it as a group of friends. You know, in this day and age in football clubs, people don't like that. They don't like hearing that type of thing. They like the business heads to be up at the top, the managers, and then the players and fans almost at different levels. But I think when we first met Marcus, Paul, me and Bernard, everything was about being aligned from one point to the next and everyone being on the same page with it. And that was it. So when we talk about expectation and ambitions, I'm not necessarily talking about beating Marine, FC United, Worksop, Mac, all these other clubs. For us, it was just about enjoying it. If you look at this moment in time, in terms of how many goals we've scored, we're the top scorers in the whole country, down to certain levels. So we're enjoying it. You know, we're playing a style of football that people can get behind, that they like playing, the players that be, the fans that have been down to watch, everyone's absolutely loving it. So the big point for us when I talk about that team is that I just want to enjoy every day. So training last night was fun. It was great. There was loads of smiles. And when you look at the league table, that definitely helps. But we've got to be able to go on the pitch and be able to take the shackles and the reins off the players where they don't feel constrained by anything. And I think that's what we've seen from performances and results so far. But that goes back to the initial sitting down talking about what we want to be going forward. Oh, we've got to win a league. We've got to get 100 points. We've got to score 200 goals. We didn't speak about any of that stuff. It was a case of how can we enjoy it the best possible way. And that's about creating exciting football. And with that, winning football. And it's as simple as that, Ben, to be honest.
Yeah, and we're talking about the team itself. You mentioned the goal scoring, but defensively as well, it's not too shabby at all. And, you know, I saw you a couple of weeks ago, obviously, in that 5-0 win over FC United. And even when you were 5-0 up, you were still putting tackles in as a team and not letting the game slip in any way, shape or form. I mean, how pleased are you with, obviously, you touched upon, you know, how good the atmosphere is at the club with training and that. But how good is the squad you've developed for winning matches and being together like you have done in this past month on the pitch?
Well, if you look at every single player within our squad, they're all connected one way or another. What I mean by that is every player that we've signed has either played with someone in the past or played for me and Burn in the past or plays already at the football club. Very rare you get that. When you go to a football club, you make, even if it's just one player that you send that doesn't know any of the lads, it still takes a period of integration. So again, part of our planning was getting a group of lads together that at least knew somebody. Not often you hit targets that you want to get, certainly not 100%. And when we sat down and gone, right, we want to bring Lewis Maynard in, Jamie Morgan, Andy Dudley, Jordan Hugh, certain players we had to wait to see if they get released from their previous club. So they'd have been made an offer and accepted that offer, it would have changed for us what our recruitment looked like. So all we can do is try and sell what the football club is and then hope the players buy into it. The fact they played for us in the past, the fact that they played for the club in the past, the fact that they played with each other in the past just creates that friendship and that teamship straight away. It makes our job so much easier. And listen, the one key thing I think most people realise and understand anyway is that managers and teams are only as good as the players. So if we get our recruitment right, more often than not, we'll do all right. We'll have good games. We'll have good seasons. When you get a load of lads that are pals off the pitch as well as being on it, they'll go that extra mile for each other. So it's great and refreshing listening to you watch the game a couple of weeks ago, talking about what you saw us doing in possession in terms of attacking and what we did out of possession in terms of defending.
Don't get me wrong, John, I didn't enjoy it, but yeah, I get
the
point.
No, I suppose you didn't enjoy it, but it's great that you picked up on that even whilst you was crying in the background.
I was being a brave boy, don't worry. I'll be all right, I'll get over it. But
great for you to see that as well. That's really important to us, that people can recognise what we're trying to be.
And obviously, we're into the month of September now. We could touch upon the FA Cup. It's one of them things that are away at Morpeth Town. But how important is this weekend when you're back in the league? Another tricky away game, you know, Chaddy at Atherton Coles. It's important you bounce back, isn't it, and keep that momentum going in the league?
Yeah, listen, we were on a couple of injuries last week, but we went with as strong as a team as we thought we could. Morpeth beat was the last kick of the game. We equalised in about the 97th. They've scored the 100th minute. They play really well. We performed okay, you know, didn't do much wrong. Morpeth are a good side, especially that far away on the 4G pitch. It's always an advantage to them, but we didn't do much wrong. You know, as I said, them at their best have scored a goal against us in the last minute. So then things happen, whether it be an FA Cup game, which we're gutted about, because obviously it means revenue to the football club and you know, you don't want to lose any games of football in any competition, but it is what it is. You know, we react the same with the cup game as we would if it was a league loss. But the most important thing is what you just said. We've got a game tomorrow against Atherton Coles, a club me and Bernard both been involved in the past, players a long time ago now. Top man in Chaddy in charge and two or three of our previous players playing there. So all the next game does for us, Ben, is it presents an opportunity to go and put 3 points on the board or winning a cup game. That's all we ever look at it as. So Atherton Coles away from home, massive banana skin. Great result last week beating guys in the FA Cup 4-0 themselves. On the crest of a wave, decent old form. You know, they beat Bradford Park Avenue at home the other week, drew with Rylands, who were second or third. So we know how tough it's going to be. But for us, it's just about reacting. I saw in training last night and on Tuesday, lads are starving to get back on the pitch. So tomorrow, it doesn't matter who the opposition is, really. It just gives and presents an opportunity to go and win a game of football again.
Yeah, and last question, John, just about not just Atherton Coles tomorrow, but what's coming up. I mean, I could ask you about your targets, but you've already mentioned it's just about enjoying yourselves at this moment in time, and that seems to be working out for you. So, I mean, how much are you looking forward to what's possible at Stainton Park this season? It is a competitive league, as we've already touched upon, but certainly going in the right direction, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Bobby Grant took the club to its highest ever finish in the Pyramid last season. Two positions outside the playoffs, a couple of points, could still get in there in the last 7 minutes of last year. So they weren't far off. What we're about is progression. You know, whether that be at each training session, each game, each season, as a football club, we want to progress everything that we're involved in. Unfortunately, we can't progress in the FA Cup because we've gone out. So that means that we have to double focus on the league and every single game. So cliche as hell, I know this, but we just concentrate on tomorrow, to be honest with you. And all we think about is what tomorrow looks like, the preparation in terms of that. Once that's done, they will start thinking about what the training sessions look like on Tuesday and Thursday. unfortunately, a week off because we're at the Cup next week and then some good games coming up. But the full focus has to be on tomorrow. We take our eye off that, we'll get punished, and then you're doing the same again. So big, massive Cup final mentality tomorrow and see where it takes us.
Well, Jono, a big thank you for taking the time out of your day, joint manager of Radcliffe. All the best in the coming matches, and we'll catch up again very soon.
Top man. Cheers, pal.
So, Radcliffe, great start to the season. Berkey wasn't here for the preview show. I'm pretty sure you would have said Macclesfield by 10 points. Are you changing it now to Radcliffe by 10?
I'm changing it to Radcliffe by 42.
By 42 points. Right, okay. Good. But, as alluded to earlier, Simo, there is quite a number of teams who've had decent starts to the season. I mean, throughout the last few weeks, we've been catching up with most of the managers who'll be pleased. I mean, what about Whitby and the likes of Ashton United?
Whitby will be delighted, and they've kind of done it in a way they maybe would have predicted, in that they've been flawless on the road. They've won all three away games. They've had a really good response to a little setback because they lost to Workington and Ashton United in successive games, but kind of put that behind them. They've been scoring goals, and Andrew Snaith kind of foresaw this, because in the preview show he said what was one of the really encouraging things for Whitby was the strength in depth they had in attack and the options that the Nathan Haslam's now got if he wanted to make changes, and that is absolutely borne out on the field because they've shared the goals around really well. So they will be delighted with how they've started the season.
11 different goal scorers already.
Yeah. And Steve Cunningham will be pleased as well, isn't it? This is what I'd imagine Ashton United were after when he came in partway through last season.
I think he'll be pleased enough with the position in the table, but not necessarily with how they've been playing. They got away with one against Ard United. It was a bit of a smash and grab. But that said, I mean, they had a terrible start, didn't they? They lost 5-0 on the opening day against Workington, and that really made people stand up and go, what is wrong with Ashton United? Well, it turns out nothing's particularly wrong with them at all. They just had a bit of a stuttering start, as teams can do. Keelan Adams, he's quality. He's looking the best I've seen him, actually. Looking really fit after pre-season. I think what Steve Cunningham's doing this season, he's working on the foundations, because don't think we're going to see any of the sort of swashbuckling style that we saw with Buxton a couple of seasons ago when he got them promoted. I think this is going to be a little bit more prosaic in the approach, but once he gets everything knotted together, then we might see him being a little bit more expressive.
And Simo, I'll come to you for Lancaster, because obviously you saw Lancaster on Saturday. We obviously heard from Mark Fell a couple of weeks ago, sending his best regards to Luke Edwards at 26-0 for being the only person who predicted Lancaster would make the playoffs.
Listen, I would have done it. I would have done it. In fact, I told Luke to say it.
Are we in trouble then already? That didn't last very long, did it?
Well, Simo,
show some love now then. Yeah, I mean, eat humble pie while we do it.
Witten, you're in that tie.
I think it's the right outcome. And Lancaster, it kind of ties into the very good start to the season that Lancaster have had. I mean, some of the things are things that we know they're going to be really hard to beat. They've kept four clean sheets already. It's built on that solid defence. I mean, having Simon Grand paired with Andrew Teague at the back, I remember watching Simon Grand when he was playing for Norwich Victoria about 13, 14 years ago, and he's still playing, he's still brilliant. Still chipping with goals as well. So they're quite a formidable barrier, and no team can match that know-how at centre-half that they've got. And obviously the standout result, they were the first team to turn Macclesfield over, and they did it in some style as well, by the way. I think that was a very welcome to the Northern Premier League, Premier Division moment for Mac to go to the Giant Axe and get turned over. We all know what that feels like. But it's given Lancaster loads of belief, loads of confidence. And they're on a little bit of a roll now. My only concern for them is obviously the injury to Nick Evangelinos, who's going to be out for a little while now. Scored goals for them last season, would have been expected to score goals for them this season. So they need to figure out how they're going to replace the contribution that he makes. But all the signs are very, very encouraging.
Massively resilient team as well. So again, 2-0 down with Radcliffe, just didn't stop the entire team. At one point, it looked like they could actually get a point out of the game at two. So they just don't lie down one year. This is a Mark Fell team we've been used to the last couple of seasons anyway.
And this is the thing, isn't it? I mean, Lancaster, Ashton, Whitby, I think I'm safe in saying this, underperformed a little bit last season, particularly in the first part of the season.
Yeah, they all kind of recovered a bit. Yeah.
This is a much better start to the season for these three teams.
Yeah, absolutely. But with Lancaster as well, Mark Fell, he's been threatening this for a long time with his teams, hasn't he? You know, they'll have a good first half and then the players go elsewhere and they fall away in the second half. Oh, as it was last season, they struggled to really get any momentum up till Christmas, and then afterwards they put the foot on the accelerator. With Macclesfield, I mean, they did a Lancaster special, didn't they? Yeah. You know, South Shields had gone there and lost, and FC United had gone there and lost when there's been great hopes of them going up.
Yeah,
well, yeah, but it's true, though, isn't it? You know, they're not intimidated by anyone. And the team that they've got, it's settled. And Mark Fell, he's even getting Cal Brownhill to score goals. He played 184 times for Ive and never scored.
Yeah. First mention as well, towards the end of last season as well, didn't Lancaster have that little glimp of hope in making the playoffs?
I mean, I think technically they could have made the playoffs. They needed a miracle.
They needed a bit of a miracle, but it looks like coming towards the end, that miracle was happening a little bit until
the direction of travel was where.
What we're saying is, if the season lasted until late July, they would have got in the playoffs.
Probably.
With the way it was going.
They'd improved to that extent. I mean, to be fair to them, they had a lot of injuries in the first half of last season. It was a real higgledy-piggledy kind of start, and that really stopped them from gathering any momentum until into the new year.
Let's talk about Warrington Marlins, Berker.
Let's.
Because, again, considering, you know, a manager comes in there partway through the season, when we spoke to Michael Clegg, you know, it's all about changing the culture at the club and, you know, looking towards the future and building a relationship with the fans and that kind of thing. To do that, and also to be fifth in the league, it's not bad, is it?
Not at all. And as well as changing the culture at the club, it's about bringing in some consistency to the team as well. When he first went there, they were winning 3-0 one week, losing 3-0 the next. Towards the end of last season, though, you saw them going a little run. They were only lost one out of the final seven games, and they've started in a similar vein again this campaign. Only lost one out of their opening six. And they are bringing that consistency. All of a sudden, they're becoming a difficult team to beat, and they're becoming a consistent team. And, you know, you look at how teams have done at the end of the previous season as a bit of a marker as to how they'll get on in the following campaign. And if you've been paying attention, you know, this shouldn't be a surprise to anyone that Rylands are up there. Yeah. And I suspect they're not going to be too far away come the end of the campaign.
Another team that recovered from an opening day shellacking as well.
Yeah,
it can unravel when something like that. I've seen that happen. You know, you get a real idea on the opening day, and it can really knock you sideways.
Same as being in last season. Obviously, 10 seconds into the new year, and got conceded against Inter Trinity, wasn't it?
Yeah,
remember as well. So
yeah, Jack Dyche gone to Liversedge. No,
we said in the previous show. I've seen him in pre-season, and it was really encouraging. They had all the ingredients that you need to be successful in the Northern Premier League. Berkey's touched on it. They're going to be solid at the back. They've got real strength in the middle of their defence. They've got a little bit of speed and guile down the wings, and they've got a really lovely combination of pace and height up front with Piggott and then whoever they put around him. They've got all the ingredients to make a challenge for the playoffs. I think I'll say it. Yeah, I think they can.
Yeah.
And another team looking to make a challenge, and while you're speaking to them, you might as well talk about Marine.
Yeah.
I mean, they had a sticky moment, didn't they, against when they played Whitby and Hyde, but they've recovered well with wins against Basford and Matlock. It's been a decent start. I mean, the highlight probably is the 5-1 victory over FC United, another five goals conceded on the road there.
Do you want to have you back?
It's all right. I'm getting used to it. It's quite fun in a weird way. But, I mean, Marine, it's a decent start, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. They wouldn't have liked the two blemishes on their record, but what will be really encouraging to Neil Young, some parallels with Whitby, how they've recovered to setbacks. You know, they've played four games without conceding a goal in all competitions after the back-to-back defeats. One thing that will be extremely encouraging for him is the impact that Finn Sinclair Smith has had. Very smooth transition into the Marine attack, and he's chipped in with four goals already. To be fair to them, they've also had a couple of players out through injuries. We've not really seen much of Solomon yet. He's now coming back. Obviously, he was a very important player for them, and they've now got, you know, we talked in the previous show about the options they've got in attack, but he was so important for them last season, so he's coming back now. That will make a difference as well, and it just feels like, you know, with that FA Cup replay win just before we recording this, that they're starting to get on a little bit of a roll.
They've got a lot of depth there as well.
Very much so.
And the players they brought in generally, they've done really well. Finn Sinclair Smith, as you say, Manny Mampala.
It's a hell of a forward line, isn't it?
Right, with Darry Sosa as well.
But the back two aren't bad either, the two centre-backs.
No, but then you've got Felix Goddard in nets as well from Bamber Bridge. He's done great. And then when you've got Darry Sosa on the bench.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
And not only that as well, some of the goals are scoring have been absolute screamers. We're not talking just about the one against FC United. There was quite three or four that could have been in goal a month.
When Marine beat FC United, they had Darius Ossi on the bench and Sol Solomon.
Thank you very much.
Anyway, so there
they're
we
not
go.
Mucking around.
Well, what about Worksop, Berkey? Well, you know, the talk coming into the season was an unbeaten run, but it was always going to be a challenge. It was also going to be about how they bounced back from the inevitable first defeat in ages. It came.
Well, you're going to say FC United.
Yeah, it came FC United. Yeah. But Craig Parrish done a brilliant job, hasn't he? Of just settling the ship and getting them to a really good start back at step three.
It was probably a bit of a rude awakening that opening day at Broadhurst Park, really. But I don't think the fans were expecting Worksop to steamroller through the division like they did last year. Not just because of Macclesfield, not just because of Radcliffe, but because the standard of this division is so much stronger, it really is. They've got this innate belief in them, though. They really do, that they can win games. Because when they've lost, they've really lost. It's because they're going for it. You know, they're throwing the kitchen sink, everything. They're absolutely wide open at the back. When Hyde beat them 3-1, that really flattered Hyde. It did. I mean, Hyde were the better team in the first half easily, but second half, it was all hands on deck for Worksop, pummeling the Tigers. Well, they're both the Tigers, aren't they? And Hyde's third goal came in the last minute, but they're good.
Are they, because you were here last month, are they the dark horses?
No, I don't think you can call them a dark horse, because people have been talking about them anyway, haven't they? They did so well last year, just rampaging through the East Division, that they, you know, no one's surprised.
What about Macclesfield?
Do you want to take this, Simon?
I'm happy to. I think, what's the phrase? Reports of their demise are probably slightly exaggerated. Mm. I think they'll have learnt a load. I mean, we kind of referenced it earlier in the show. You know, you go to Lancaster away, and you know, it's welcome to the Northern. This is a different division now. It's not going to be like it's been in the Northern Counties League, and with the greatest respect to the West Division as well. But obviously, you know, they're figuring things out. They are new to this division. I think also, to be fair to Mac, don't underestimate the impact of losing a talismanic player like James Berry. That's fine. People get transferred in football so late in the summer, literally on the eve of the season. Yes, the headline is the number of goals that he scored last season, and he was brilliant. But he also creates goals. He creates danger. He creates chances. The player they brought in, Luke Duffy, very, very talented, but he's still going to need time to get up to speed with his new surroundings. And you know what shoes to fill, by the way. So as talented as Duffy is, that's not an easy gig for him to come in. So I think we have to kind of take that into account. They've got the attack was built around the magic that Berry brings, and they've got to now kind of find a new way of making that work. I mean, again, they were seconds away from turning over Rylands, and Rylands got that 99th minute East Lads, which felt like a win for Warrington and a defeat probably for Max. So it'd be interesting. But they went in there in the FA Cup and won. So I wouldn't be too concerned, other than they wouldn't want the gap to get too much wider between them and Radcliffe, because playing catch-up's not easy. It's very difficult to go on a long winning run in this division, so nothing to worry about. Obviously, people will have smiled. They dipped into the transfer market to bring in John Rooney. It's just kind of like, we've had an iffy start, let's bring in John Rooney. There's very few clubs in the division that can do that, so it'll be interesting to see. I was quite surprised by that, because I did say in the preview show I thought they'd address the issues they've got in midfield that I thought they had last season, but they've obviously feel that he can bring something to the table. Look at his CV, but it's interesting that that's where they've strengthened first, is to go into midfield. So let's see how they go in month two as they carry on learning.
But what about that FA Cup tie they've got against Buxton?
Oh,
that's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah,
and we'll cover off the FA Cup towards the end of the show, obviously. But just touch upon Ilson and what's been going on there. Gary Haywood's departed the club. Ian Deacon's come in, which I have to say is a brilliant appointment, actually. What he did at Long Eaton United was superb. So, apart from the last three league games, it was a decent start for Ilson. It's a platform.
It was perfect opening start. You know, first three games, won them all, 13 goals scored. And it's just, you know, I don't think anyone particularly expected him to go on a tear quite like that. But yeah, as you say, they lost the next three, then the cup game as well, and they just need a bit of stability now. They've had three managers in as many months, and if Ian Deakin can get them on a sure footing, well, you know, I'm sure they'll finish top half.
See the reaction to Deakin's appointment, you know, the buzz it's created in the fan base. He used to play for Augustine in goal and was also on the management team when they had back-to-back promotions, you know, when they were working their way back through the pyramid. So he has those ties, and he's got the fans right behind him, which is great. Keep an eye on them. I mean, obviously, he needs to come in and kind of... They've had two teams, haven't they? Jamie Ward is building a team, and Gary Haywood fetched in a load of players. It's a bit of a mess to unravel. But they have got 9 points on the board. It's not like they're adrift. But with that feel-good factor, I'm really intrigued to see kind of where they go from here.
I think what we'll do is now we'll hand over to an interview that I conducted on Thursday with Matt Carruthers, just about the starts of the season for Morpeth Town and Manchester United. So let's hear that interview now, and then we'll be back here discussing those teams in mid-table land currently.
Well, Mark, a big thank you for joining us and welcome back to the show. And we'll kick things off with our little North East catch-up, talking about Morpeth Town firstly. And this is a much better start to the season for Craig Lynch's side. You know, a good win against Mask in the league, you know, through to the next round of the FA Cup with a fantastic result against Radcliffe. It's been a good start for Morpeth.
It has, yeah, and very much a new style Morpeth as well. You know, there's a lot of pace on the side, and it's very much a big shift away from the physical side that they've maybe been in previous seasons. But what I really liked was obviously they suffered two defeats away against Bradford Park Avenue and Warrington Rylands, but they bounced back with two wins. And I mean, the second one of those wins in the FA Cup against Radcliffe couldn't have been any more dramatic with the late winner. I think it was the 99th minute to get through to the next round. So yeah, I think what you've seen is just maybe a side that are still adjusting to a new style of football, a lot of signings that are still settling in. But it has been a largely positive start to the season. And I mean, when I was up there, it was the first home game against Wigan, and they were phenomenal. They played so well that night. Andrew Johnson playing from that left-hand side, as he always does, getting goals, getting two that night. And Sam Hodgson, who they've got on loan from South Shields, scored an absolute belter. And they just look a more solid unit, but they also look as if they could threaten even the best sides in the league going forwards. There's plenty of pace, plenty of movement, and plenty of creativity in the side now.
That was the thing that Craig wanted, really, wasn't it? He was moving away from the Morpeth that initially got itself into this tier of football, and now it's about putting his stamp on things. And based on what you said, based on the results, I think we're starting to see that now, that transition.
Well, look, I don't think anyone would shy away from the fact that last season just wasn't good enough. You know, when we look at previous seasons when they've got up, it's always been sort of, can we finish mid-table? Can we push on the playoffs and really challenge? And you know, let's be honest, they made some really ambitious signings, lads that have come from the Football League, players that have played at the top end of non-league for a long time now. So I think they should maybe expect better than to get dragged into relegation battle like they did last year. And I think it was only the last week of the season when they stayed up, really. But yeah, I think it's just now you're starting to see this is Craig Lynch's side. He's starting to really hammer home what he wants and what he's always wanted from teams that he's managed. He was the same in the Northern League with Seaham. You know, they try to play good football. They try to get the ball down. There was always that forward intent. And I think that's what you're seeing from this Morpeth side. It won't always come off. You know, they've got a tricky little game at home this weekend. But if they can get a win then, you know, they're starting to build some serious momentum going to that FA Cup tie against Southport.
Let's discuss Mask. We're only six games into the season. Very, very early days. And even the teams at the bottom end of the table like Basford and Mask, they're only a win or so away from getting themselves out of the relegation places at this point. But what do you make of the start at Mount Pleasant for Graham Lee? Is it essentially what we just said about Morpeth, but early stages of a team transitioning?
Yeah, I think looking across the board, you know, and I mean this from sort of Premier League down to non-league, there's been a lot of overreaction about teams not starting well or teams starting very well. And managers always say to me, you probably had it said to you a million times, that you can't let the highs get you too high and you can't let the lows get you too low. And I think with Mask, it is very early days. Yes, it hasn't been a great start at all. But Graham Lee's a good manager. He's a good coach and he will turn things around. He will improve them. There is still considerable amount of attack and threat in that side. Obviously, Nathan Thomas has played at a far higher level than NPL. You've got Adam Boyes, who regularly is a goal scorer, even in sides that are struggling, as we've seen this season. I think we're maybe just seeing, again, a little bit like we just said about Morpeth. It's just maybe taking its time for Graham's methods and his style of play to be imposed on this team, which we shouldn't forget over the last year has had quite a lot of change to it. We had the whole, you know, Carl Jarrett leaving Curtis Woodhouse coming in, Curtis Woodhouse leaving, Carl Jarrett coming back, and then Graham coming in. So that's a lot of change for a squad to go through. And there was a lot of changes to that squad throughout that time. So maybe they just need a little bit of time to settle. I don't think there'll be any panic yet. And there's enough quality in that side to really kick on, although they do have a tough one Saturday.
I mean, saying that, I mean, this would be, it's another away game, obviously the follow-on from the Oxford United win away from home. That game, yeah. I mean, how crucial is that win? Because it's not just, you know, you could say, oh, they've gone to a step four side and beaten them 3-0, but that's, given the form masquerade, that was a big banana skin, and that must, you know, that must offer some positives for the upcoming games against Matlock and Lancaster in the FA Cup.
I think the biggest thing I would take from it as well is the fact that they kept a clean sheet, because this season, I think that's the first one in any competition. And you look at the two games before, they conceded 4 at Morpeth, they conceded 5 at Radcliffe. So I think that'll have been a bigger plus than anything else. And the one thing we shouldn't underestimate, you know, with Mask this season is through the summer, they've lost some long-standing members of that squad. You think of people like Adam Wheatley's gone to the Northern League with Redcar Athletic, and he's been there for, what, over 10 years, a pillar at the heart of their defence. So there is that as well. But yeah, that win, and I think winning, not just winning, but going there and winning well and winning comfortably will be a huge boost and something that's come at just the right time for them.
And Mark, just before we leave you, just a bit of a general catch-up. How are you finding the start to the NPL more generally? I mean, you know, you've got Radcliffe leading the way, but much beneath them in the league table. Still very early days, but is it meeting expectations, the start of the season thus far?
Yeah, I mean, of course, I think Jono and Bernard have done an unbelievable job at Radcliffe. But again, it is still early days, but they'll be happy to have that 6-point lead. Brilliant from Whitby as well, you know, to be where they are. I don't think many expected that. But as you say, it is very much a much of a muchness. I don't think things will really settle until sort of November time, and we'll know sort of what we can expect from most teams in the league. So, but it does feel really open this year, particularly those playoff places. So it's going to be intriguing to see how that sort of battle moves on throughout the season.
Yeah, absolutely. And Mark, just before you go, a quick plug for your work, all things North East football, of course. But where are you off to this weekend, and how can people keep across all your work?
Yeah, we've just had this conversation before we started
recording. I thought I'd invite the listener in on it.
Yeah, so I inexplicably accepted an offer to go and cover Gateshead's latest game, which is...
Oh, where are they? Is that a local game?
It is, yeah, just a couple of miles down the road at Eastleigh. So about as far away from the North East as I can get. So looking forward to that one. Just covering that for the local Sunday paper up here, the Sunday Sun. So, yep, should be a good one. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to the journey. Honestly, not saying this through gritted teeth at all. But, yeah, it'll be a good test for Gateshead and hopefully for their point of view, a positive result.
Good stuff. And you can follow Mark on Twitter at @MarkCarruthers_, of course. Mark, a big thank you for joining us just before you set off to the Hampshire coast. So a big thank you for joining us on this week's show. Keep up the excellent work, and we'll catch up again very soon.
Thanks for having me.
Mark Carruthers there, football writer from the northeast of England, discussing Mask and Morpeth Town. And Simo, just a mention for the teams down towards the bottom end of the table. It is early days, admittedly. Basford United, 2 points. Mask, as we discussed there, 3 points. Gainsborough and Atherton Coles on 5. It's not too dramatic at this point. It's all fairly muchness.
And
six
I think
games in.
Common thread tying them together, and we discussed this a lot in the previous show, is the amount of turnover at those clubs over the summer. I mean, Steve Kittrick at Basford has gone with kind of prophetic words pre-season, saying this is a tougher division. I'm expecting it to be much harder than how we found it in the Southern League. That's how it's playing out, but he has got a lot of new players in. Gainsborough, we discussed, lost key players rather than volume of players, but they have still picked up 5 points. Coles lost pretty much everybody and have got a new manager in. Did have a really good win against Bradford, didn't they, in the first week of the season. So they have got a win on the board, but none of them are adrift, you're quite right. So a couple of wins and it changes very quickly. So not necessarily anything to be too concerned about, but we did expect those teams to find it tough.
I mean, Atherton Coles and Gainsborough Trinity are 2 points beneath Hyde United, and you wouldn't suggest Berkeley Hyde United have had a poor start or anything like that, would you?
No, it's been... It's been a bit of a strange one with Hyde, really. We've been in all the games. We've actually been the better side in most of the games, with the exception of the Radcliffe match.
Even then, you still had half a opportunity to get back into that game anyway, as we mentioned before.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, we have had a very tough start. You look who we've played, and it's half the top ten. So, you know, it's been a bit of a tricky one there. We've been creating chances, but been a little bit profligate in front of goal. Started it in the woodwork again, which is nice. We've had four different goalkeepers already as well, because of injuries.
Is that the common denominator with a team down the lower end of the table at the moment? It's about not having really a settled squad.
Yeah, a lot of it is to do with that, but there are reasons to be cheerful at Hyde, and one of them is the emergence of a young winger called Antoine McCauley. He's a Garton lad like me, and he's come up from Wycombe Wanderers. He's come back home to Manchester, basically, and he's tearing it up. He's got this thundercracker of a right boot on him as well. I mean, when he learns to control which direction the ball goes in afterwards, he'll be unstoppable. But he has chipped in with a couple of goals in the last two games as well, so he's getting that into his game as well. More calm finishes rather than thrashed.
Let's have a catch-up now with all things West Yorkshire, and it's a big welcome back to non-league reporter from the other side of the Pennines. Here's Thomas Feeney.
Well, Tom, a big thank you for joining us. We'll get to Bradford Park Avenue in a second, but let's kick things off talking about Geisler. I think it's been a frustrating start to the season. I mean, you know, the FA Cup against Marine being a classic example, you know, a good 0-0 draw, taking it to a replay, two subs on the bench in the replay. And then we could point to games like Hyde and Lancaster, where Geisler have been winning in those games, but then dropped 2 points. It's been, am I safe to say, it's been a frustrating start to the season at Nevermore?
Yeah, it's been a start that I think kind of there's been positives, good bits of play, and just not getting that final result. And I think Lancaster's probably the best example of that. To be in the position the side were in and to only leave with a point, again, one of those where before you'd be going, do you know what? A point away from home against a good Lancaster side isn't bad, but it's the circumstance surrounding that. And then, you know, Marine on Saturday, not too much happened. Tuesday, a few injuries, a few suspensions, etc. What you want when you've got kind of a put-together squad is you don't concede early. You kind of build your way into the game. And obviously, 90 seconds in, Marina ahead, they're in the ascendancy. Geisler did have some chances in that match, but obviously not gone that way. And I think it's been the story of the season so far, where you're looking at key moments and going, didn't go Geisley's way. In an alternative universe, Geisley are a bit higher up the table, you know, having picked up some impressive wins, but a win against Bamber Bridge would mean so much to the club, really, because then momentum can start to build up, a little bit of a break as well. And then, you know, certain players who have been suspended, them suspensions have been got rid of and injuries have gone. And, you know, all of a sudden things would be looking a bit brighter. But, you know, it has to be said, before Marine away, you know, it was three games unbeaten and kind of that feeling of beat Marine in the FA Cup, four games unbeaten, that little bit of momentum being built. But obviously it didn't go the line's way on Tuesday.
And moving on to Bradford Park Avenue, and just about the run that they're on at the moment, they're on an impressive unbeaten run, with including a fantastic result against Ilsham, and, you know, safely through with a tricky tie away at Consett. Certainly, it can't be taken for granted. Bradford Park Avenue, I feel like, are starting to find the feet at this level.
Yeah, you know, it was a disappointing start, you know, those first two games. But obviously, you know, a team like Macclesfield was always going to be tough. And then I think the next game was a bit of a reality check for Mark Bower and the side. And then they've just been able to grow. And it's kind of one of those, you know, concert away, you'd look and go, that's the banana skin for the side. And they were able to get through that. And I think that's the big thing here is, you know, Mark Bower, he's been able to keep certain players, keep certain characters in the dressing room. And it was that big thing for them not to panic, you know. One or two results, you start with a couple of disappointing results, not all is lost, you know. And they've already been able to find that momentum. And they, you know, to me, it's going along nicely for them now. You know, they're picking up some good points again through in the FA Cup. And it's one of those situations now. I think Mark Bower will be relatively pleased with how it's been going.
Yeah, two tricky games though coming up for Bradford Park Avenue. FC United this weekend at Broadhurst Park. You've had a good start to the season at home, certainly. And the FC United Bradford Park Avenue games of yesteryear, stuff of legend, some of them. So it should be a good game, that one. But Blyth away as well in the second qualifying round of the FA Cup. It's a big fortnight, this, for the club.
Yeah, definitely. You know, FC United, it's going to be a great atmosphere. And then, you know, playing Blyth, who are just on, you know, a ridiculous run of form, really, in the National League North compared to the last few years. So I think if you said to Mark Bower it's going to be them two wins, that really would show the momentum within in the group. But obviously, they'll be realistic as well, and they'll know that if those games don't go their way, or one does and one doesn't, they've kind of got that momentum behind them anyway. And I think what the big thing is, they know they've got the confidence in the squad, they've got the confidence in the ability of the team, so they know that one bad result isn't the end of the world for them, and they're able to continue with the momentum they pick up.
And Tom, just while I've got you as well, I mean, you've seen in the flesh, you know, the likes of Whitby Town, Lancaster City, Marine. What have you made of the start more generally across the league? You know, Radcliffe are out in front at the moment, but all not much separating everyone else, in all fairness. So what have you made of the start more generally for the NPL this year?
I feel quite smug because I did say Radcliffe would win the league. So, but I mean, I think that's the NPL premiere for you. You know, every year there's results where you go, well, that can't go that way, and it does. And I think it is just such fine margins in this division. And, you know, there's always a team for me that you go into the festive period, you get kind of first week of December, you look at them and go, there's something about this group. They could be that team that fly up the table. And it normally happens. There's normally that team that does it. And I think Whitby, I've seen Whitby twice. They've really impressed me with how, you know, their strikers really like to kind of make a nuisance of themselves and really put the work in. And you look at Marine and, you know, the quality they've got. I think this is the thing, is like Radcliffe aside for the time being, everyone else is kind of, there really isn't that much between it. For Radcliffe, obviously, that pressure that's being built up. But I think I've got to say, Jono and Morley, I think they're, you know, they're kind of managers. They enjoy that pressure. They enjoy being the team that's there to be shot at. So, you know, it's been a fascinating start. And I think it will be throughout the season. You know, with some divisions, you go into like February and you go, right, well, they'll win the title. Them few teams will be there. Those few teams are going to be going down. With this division, it really is all to be played for until really the last few weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Thomas, just before you go, just a quick plug for your work, as well as obviously they'll be coming to you this weekend for Bamber Bridge against Geisley on Geisley's Eternal radio station. So tune into that one if you can't make the game in person. But how could people keep across your work, Thomas?
Well, if you want to follow me on whatever that social media platform's called now, it's at Thomas Feeney on there.
Good stuff. Well, Thomas Feeney, a big thank you for joining us on this week's show. You have a lovely weekend, and we'll catch up again soon.
Speak to you in a bit, mate.
There's only a few clubs we've not mentioned, Simo. What about Workington? Because they've had their moments, haven't they, in this opening month?
They've been loads of fun. They've been loads of fun because they score loads of goals. And they've also, slightly worryingly, been leaking a load of goals as well. In fact, the four defeats they've had, they've conceded on average four goals a game. So Danny Granger needs to fix that pretty quickly to keep them competitive. But they were prolific in the West Division last season. In fact, only Macclesfield scored more goals than they did. So they kind of carried on where they left off and had a good win in the FA Cup. So I think they're okay. I think, like I say, they just need to tighten up defensively because they've always got a threat going forward, and they'll be just fine.
And Bamber Bridge, a bit higher up the table.
Ben, when me and Elle were looking to buy a house 10 years ago,
yeah,
Elle's mum said to us, "What you want to do is buy the worst house on the best street." And Bamber Bridge, what they've done, it's in football, you have to do it the opposite way around. You want to buy the best player from the worst team. And Bamber Bridge have gone over to Staley Bridge, seeing that Harry Benz was their best performer. He's a fantastic footballer, just never had any luck with runs in teams. He's had some terrible injuries, and he's having the season of his life so far. All right, we're only six games in, but he scored four goals from midfield, and I'm chuffed to bits for him. He's a lovely fella, and let's get that result against Mosley in the FA Cup out of the way as well. It was an aberration, that.
Well,
losing 4-0 at home is strange at the best of times for Bamber Bridge, and especially when Jamie Milligan, he's always built his teams on these solid defensive foundations. Yes, yeah, so difficult to beat, aren't they? And full credit to Mosley, by the way. Some great, got two great goals,
yes,
in particular.
Great goals.
Wow.
And David Fisher was on the show last week and didn't,
there you are,
didn't do him any harm, did it?
Exactly. But I get the feeling that this Bamber Bridge side is a work in progress. Last season, you kind of came to it fully formed, whereas the season before, it was lone players here, there and everywhere. And at the moment, I think we're going to see, by Christmas, they'll have augmented that side with a few more players. They're going to be stronger. It's just Jamie Milligan finding the right pieces of the puzzle, I think. He's a wily character.
You'd back him to do it, though.
Yes. And,
but the evidence is there, isn't it, over the last few seasons?
Yeah, as well, they had quite a few suspensions at the start of the season as well that carried over. Mm.
And Berkey mentioned the FA Cup there, and we'll just cover off a few results from the first qualifying round. Mosley's result against Bamber Bridge is
outstanding.
Result of the round, yeah. Certainly in our neck of the woods.
I was going to say, I mean, Carlton's win against Nuneaton,
that was a big win.
Is certainly up there. Another manager was on the show last week, and again, maybe our reputation doesn't precede us anymore.
The,
I don't know.
The curse is being lifted.
I think so. Yeah. Hyde United getting past Clitheroe.
Yeah, a fairly routine win. That Clitheroe, by the way, they've got this fantastic winger, Pardy.
Oh, he's only just signed as well.
Yeah, and he is mustard. Very, very, very impressive the other day.
And wins as well for Anthony Nomads, who've had a great start to the season, beating Hanley Town by 3-0. Congratulations to Runcorn Linnets, who got through on the replay on Tuesday.
Oh, let's say 120th minute.
But before that, there were 2 goals in the 90th minute.
Yeah.
Both penalties. Both pens. Mad game. Mad game.
Cleefops safely through as well. Commiserations to Hinkley. Brad Park Avenue, tricky game on paper, travelling to concert. Mm. But they navigated it. FC United eventually got through against Barlick Town. Actually, what am I doing, Simo? I was just going through this list of FA Cup results and I forgot. You've not done your
FC Night Corner.
Yes, FC Night Corner.
He needs background music and, you know.
Can he have his own theme tune for this?
Oh, that's a bit grand. But
what, do you want me just to do a United chant in the background? And answer the...
Simo! Yeah, that's good. I like it. Yeah. FC, I mean, I was not sure where to kind of pitch me questions, but so let's see how we go.
We're delighted. Anyway, moving on.
Are you having a good time?
Yeah,
no, that's not really the question.
They are here for a good time.
They're here for a good time, but mate, are you having? Why don't you like going on the road? What's happened?
No, we do. It's just
what's happened. Very encouraging at Broaders.
I think
it's a bit of a mess
up there
on the road.
It's systematic of a younger side that's still trying to find its way. You concede 4 quick fire goals at Marine. Very quickly conceded goals at Marine. Same at Radcliffe, you know, going in at 1-0 before we weren't. They're finding the way. But one thing is for sure, those young players like Morris, Fitzmartin, Bilardo, Max Kane, they'd like playing in front of the SMRE.
And it's almost like you queued up the next question. I mean, we give Morris and Fitzmartin a lot of love in the previous show, quite rightly. But there will be people who don't know anything about Nick Bilardo, and he's been a match winner on a
three occasions.
It's a bit of a live wire.
What can you tell us about him?
He's on loan from Stockport County. I think he was at Carlisle before that, and Stockport got hold of him, and then we got hold of him on loan. He's good, but he's not fully fit.
He's coming off the bench to score these
goals.
He's coming
off the bench, yeah. So that's one of the reasons why he didn't play against Radcliffe, was because he was still slightly fatigued.
FC are going to be loads of fun to watch again.
I think that's it.
You touched on it there, Simo, about FC being away from home, but it was always thus, weren't it?
No, it's our Broaders Park farm since the stadium was built. It's been dreadful.
It hasn't been a fortress. No.
We've not won an opening home game in 12 years before the Worksop win.
Good point.
Yeah, and
good start as well.
I don't think we've ever won 3 home games on the bounce in August.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever done that. I might be wrong, maybe in the second season, but not for a long time ago. They're playing really good football.
Good. You are here for a good time.
Here for a good time.
We've skipped Stafford as well. Them losing Tom Tongs is going to be a massive
hit. Oh, he's gone.
Yeah, he left. He's gone to Rush Olympic.
I see now.
And obviously, we conceded 3 goals at Stafford. But other than that, it's been all right. Back to the FA Cup. And Matlock Town They eventually beat Gainsborough Trinity, didn't they, in the replay? Yeah. Just to mention for Matt Townberger.
When I saw the first, the result of the first game of the season, that 0-0 against Bamber Bridge, I thought, oh, here we go again. It's going to be another season of Matlock being tight, difficult, obstinate, getting stuck in.
Going on first day expectations, though, you would have expected that to be a draw anyway, let's be fair.
Yeah, I know you would have expected it, but you wouldn't have expected Workington to be at Manchester United 5-0. You wouldn't have expected FC United to beat Worksop 3-0.
That's not my first day expectations.
No, first day's always a bit of a strange one, but that, you're dead right, Teagot. You would have probably expected a 0-0 draw or one goal either way. But since then, they've been up and down. They've been playing these wide open games where they've been scoring a hatful, conceding a hatful. It is the most un-Matlock-like season so far. I know we're only in just past August. I know we're only in September.
No, it's August. You destroy the magic, Burke.
All right, yeah. But
this show is uploaded on the 8th of September. Yeah. We're way into September now, aren't we? Yeah. But yeah, go on.
Look at John O'Margetts. Two hat-tricks already and a double in another game. They've just got this leaky tap at the back that they need a new washer, basically. Well, if they can get that sorted, then they should be all right.
He did say to you, didn't he? They've had a horrendous time with no consistency in selection. People have been injured and unavailable because it's August. And like, non-league footballers now, like, they go to Creamfields and stuff like that. When we all started watching football, everybody played. But now people go on holiday, they go to Creamfields, they go here, they go there. It's always a bit higgledy-piggledy.
What's Creamfields?
Sorry, no, it's Creamfields, how he says it.
It's a Cheshire thing, isn't it?
Yeah. And it always makes me laugh because that would never have happened. I'm going to sound like an old man. That would never have happened 15 years ago. He'd have been dropped and that's the end of it. But now it's managers factor in that, like, there's a cohort in the squad who aren't going to be
hybrid
there.
Hybrid working. Yeah, you could be a footballer now, do it from your living room, can't you? On a little laptop.
All these Gen X types. I don't know. Or is it Gen Z? It's Gen Z, isn't it?
Anyway.
Showing me.
Once he gets he seemed very optimistic. Once everybody comes back, they'll be on their way. There's already signs of that. They're kind of on an improved run after not winning any of their first three games. And hammering Gainsborough in the replay will give them loads of confidence.
Yeah.
Just back to the FA Cup. Congratulations to Harborough. Fantastic win over Stamford by 3 goals to 1. So they progress through. Also through Leeteown Town, 5-0 win over Grimsby Borough. And we should say, big good luck to Neil Baker, who's left the club.
Yeah,
fantastic guest.
Great
on
servant
the show over
for
the years,
for league as well. Yeah. But that's a great win in the FA Cup.
Elsewhere, Cambridge City, they won a 6-1 win over Leighton Town. Yeah. We mentioned Morpeth Town earlier and their great result over Radcliffe. They're through to the second qualifying round. As a Nantwich, after a replay, Mask, a tricky game at Ossett United, but safely through. Prescott Cables, a 4-2 victory for them. Sporting Calza, their game live on the BBC, that's gone to a replay. That replay's tonight.
It's currently 0-0.
Currently 0-0. Breaking news. Thank you, Kate Burler. Stafford Rangers, they went through a 2-0 win. Spalding United also through. And Warrington Rylands safely through against Stockton Town. Widnes, they eventually got knocked out, though, didn't they?
4-1.
Workington, a good win over Prestwich Hayes. And Worksop Town beat Sheffield FC. And there was a Sunday game as well where Macclesfield won in their match. Oh, Friday night?
Yeah.
What about a Friday? Stockport County playing? No. Oh, Whitby won. and there was a Friday night game as well. Thank you, James, for reminding me. A 6-0 win for Whitby Town over Goole.
So, and they were ruthless.
Yeah.
But the second qualifying round of matches will be taking place next week, and we'll do a big fixture preview for that on next week's show. I think that might be the return, Simo, if you don't mind.
Of FA Cup preview.
Yeah, do you want to do it next week? Yeah, should we do that? Because there's so many games to talk about. And
There's some good ties.
I love our hour-long recordings, what we do, where we go for every single team in non-league football.
Some good ties.
Yeah. There's no end to Simo's knowledge, that's for sure. Just before we go, just a quick round the table for this weekend's matches back in the league. In alphabetical order, Atherton Colls against Radcliffe. James?
I would make a prediction, but I do know quite a few people at Atherton Colls, so I'm going to abstain from my guess.
that is
what a coward.
That is weak.
Absolutely. Can I make a prediction?
Of course you can. That's what this part of the show is all about.
Thank you.
Someone's got to.
Be brave.
5-1.
Go on, just
to Radcliffe.
Okay. Bamber Bridge against Guiseley.
I'd go Bamber Bridge one on this one, but by a goal, if anything. But
both need to bounce back. Yes, yeah.
Absolutely.
One thing is with Guiseley, they've got a few players coming back from suspension as well, and a couple from injury too. So could be a...
That's a Styles Make Fights fixture, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is as well. Yeah.
It's the return of El Clasico on Saturday afternoon. FC United taking on Bradford Park Avenue.
Bradford Park Avenue win, only because there's beer upstairs waiting for me.
Right.
Well, Damien, okay. If you're listening, thank you once again for the room.
At Broadhurst, so it's a home win on the current form, isn't it?
Okay.
Yeah, I'd have thought.
Hyde United against Lancaster.
Well, bit of a bogey
team. Oh, is that why you were giving them compliments?
Oh, yeah.
Rumbled.
Mark, can we have an interview, please, just after the match?
Come on,
Mark, see through him. See through him. Are you cynical?
We don't have to ask Spelly for an interview. He just wanders over. How are you doing? 10 minutes later, get to another question. Oh, it's fantastic. No, it's good. I'm going to say a draw.
Draw's fair.
Ilkeston against Worksop Town in a bit of a Derbyshire, Nottinghamshire derby.
First game for Crunch match. Three and Deakin as well.
Yeah.
That'll be a lot of fun.
Is that your prediction?
Yeah.
Okay. Unfortunately, that doesn't get you a pool's victory.
Score draw. Score draw.
Score draw. Right, okay. Macclesfield against Ashton United.
Now, Ashton have been playing all right recently. Yeah. As well,
it's a tough game for
Matt. Do you reckon that might be game of the weekend?
Yeah.
Ashton might sneak
a draw. I think it's going to be a draw, yeah.
Matlock Town against Mask.
Should be a home win.
Yeah.
Okay. Morpeth Town against Gainsborough Trinity.
Morpeth, I'm going to have a bit of confidence going into that one there. Especially with Gainsborough's recent form too. I'm going to go Morpeth win.
Yeah.
Stafford Rangers against Marine. That's a tricky game for Marine, isn't it?
It's a trickier game for Stafford.
2-1 to Marine.
Okay. Whitby Town against Warrington Rylands.
That's game of the weekend.
Yeah. Joint game of the weekend.
Yeah. Joint.
Okay, with FC and Bradford Park, haven't you?
Yeah, I'd go to draw with that one.
And finally, Workington against Basford United. That's a big game for Basford, I'm going to suggest.
Yes.
Long trip, though. Berkey invited me, Simo, and James on a train trip to Workington. And we all pretty much agreed instantly, no, that's too long a train trip.
Hang on.
We like trains.
Whoa.
It's not a whole story, that.
No, it isn't the whole story.
There was a discussion about whether you change at Barrow and Carlisle. Yeah,
you do have to change at Barrow, and it costs £2. But not only that, I had a look, and you can get from Manchester to Barrow to Carlisle, via Workington, of course, Carlisle to Newcastle down to Middlesbrough for the princely sum of £6.30.
But it would take you 6 days.
No, you'd leave Manchester at 6:15 in the morning.
Okay.
And you'd get to Middlesbrough for about 6:15 at night.
That's not bad, though.
It's not bad.
That's not bad.
For the purposes of this show, though, can we go on the train for a match day on Saturday and come back time?
But it wouldn't cost you £2.
Ah.
No.
I think Berkey's going on his own.
Yeah.
Well, enjoy your trip.
In fairness, my excuse is that every time I've gone up to Workington, except for the last playoff semi-final, they've lost, so I don't think they'll mind me there anyway.
I fancy doing some buses up there as well, obviously. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, Berkey's going to make that trip on his own, but you will be able to hear all about his wonderful adventure to the west coast of Cumbria on his own podcast, which you can plug now.
It's slower travel.
It's a good podcast, everyone.
Oh, thank you very much, Ben.
Yes, that's nice.
And Berkey, big thank you for joining us on this month's show.
Thank you for inviting me, Ben.
Simo, have you got anything that needs plugging? You've got some articles and stuff.
I spoke to them today. I'm covering Runcorn, Linnets and Witten in the FA Trophy on Saturday from the non-league paper, and also Northern Premier League related talk. Doing a piece on the Prescott Cables FA Cup run as well.
And James, plenty of work for you to do. FA Trophy this weekend, FA Cup next weekend, league matches, all kinds of shenanigans.
I've got a busy month.
You have, haven't you? So how can people follow the MPL and the wonderful social media content?
Yeah, so you can follow us on Twitter /X/ whatever you want to be called this week.
It's X, it's still X.
Yeah, on Northern Premier League.
I've verified that, still X.
Are we on Threads?
We are on Threads indeed. That's on the official Northern Premier, along with Facebook, Instagram, TikTok and YouTube. Football web pages, if you've not, obviously they're having issues with sending tweets out on a match day, so to follow the action, download the app or use the football web pages website for information there as well.
Good stuff. Well, that's it for this month's edition of the NPL show. A big thank you to Jono for joining us on this week's show. Big thank you to Mark Rivers and to Thomas Feeney as well for their contributions. And a big thank you to Damien at the Heat and Hops, at Heat and Hops on Twitter. But we're going to go now. Have a lovely weekend. Enjoy the FA Trophy. Enjoy the FA Cup. Enjoy the league. Enjoy everything. We'll see you all very soon. You
enjoy
take care.
Enjoy being top.
Whoa. It's a mind drop moment, everyone. It's a mind drop moment. Never had that on this show in the last 10 years of doing it. That's amazing. Thank you for joining us. History. History, everyone. You take care. Bye-bye.